As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by the ever-changing world of technology? Tech It Out can help make some sense of it all. Breaking down geek speak into street speak, technology columnist, author, and TV personality Mark Saltzman covers consumer technology each week for every listener. Mark tackles the latest news, reviews, and how-tos to help you understand what's hot, what's not, and why.
Hey everyone, welcome to Tech It Out, episode 112. We have a great show planned for you today, and I'll remind you in a moment about our awesome contest with Hotels.com. We're giving away a $250 gift card each week for 4 more weeks. So we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. On this week's show, LG talks with us about its 49-inch computer monitor. That, my friends, might be bigger than your television, but this is designed for your PC or Mac. We'll also talk with OfferUp this hour about its online marketplace, a very popular one where you can buy or sell items locally, clean out the clutter as we perhaps wind down for the summer and make some cash in the process. And finally, we'll talk with Square about what's new with them. You know that little white square often inserted into a smartphone when you want to pay someone some money with your credit or debit card? Well, we'll learn what's new with them. All of this and more is coming up on Tech It Out. Before we chat with LG about its massive computer monitor, we do have that awesome giveaway that I want to tell you about a couple times this hour. And it is running until the end of September, so 4 more weeks, including this one. Now, this is where someone's going to win a $250 Hotels.com gift card to put toward any hotel stay that you want through Hotels.com, the app or website. We're giving away one per week. Again, in total, it's been 8 weeks, but we're going to give away the fifth one shortly. Here's how to be eligible to win. And it is open to anyone in the U.S. aged 18 and older. All you have to do is as follows. Go to Twitter and follow Hotels.com. Type a sentence on why you could use a little getaway and include the hashtag TechItOut. That's it. A name will be randomly drawn. I'll announce it on the show next week and on social media as well. And if you want to read the full terms and conditions for this giveaway, it's on my website, marksaltzman.com. MarkSaltzman.com. There's a limit of one entry per person per day, per week, but no purchase is necessary. A purchase will not increase your chances of winning. All right, let's get on with Tech It Out. Now that back to school time is here, students should know there is some seriously cool tech that you can take advantage of to help you get your work done and perhaps have a little fun after school hours as well. Joining us to talk about a great pick for your dorm room or maybe a home office, and that goes for moms and dads too, maybe getting back to work this time of year, we're joined by Danielle Chen. She's the National Corporate Account Manager at LG Electronics to talk monitors. Welcome to the show, Danielle.
Nice to be here.
All right. Purchasing new tech for the back to school season has become a norm, especially this time of year. As we head back to work, you know, regular routine or school life, what would you say is a must-have device that LG offers?
So for back to school or back to work season, a must-have device is our 49-inch ultra-wide curved 5K resolution monitor. This device is ideal for photographer, video editor, graphical designer, stock trader, program coder, or for anyone who is doing multitasking to boost up their productivity. It is also one of the best looking monitors out there with easy and ergonomic design.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 49 inches for an ultra-wide monitor. I mean, that is huge, and I can see the benefits of being able to multitask, having all those windows open at the same time, which we know students are very comfortable doing. So it's good for work and play, right? So during your 9-to-5 school life, if you will, you're doing research online, you're writing maybe a book report or an essay, you're maybe chatting with your classmates when you're not actually in class, but you've got like a chat window open up. And then for your 5-to-9 downtime, you could take advantage of this big monitor, especially if it's in a dorm room, as an entertainment device. So you can be watching TV shows and movies, maybe some YouTube videos, playing games, looking at photos, that kind of thing.
Yes, I know it is big, right? But think of having a 2 of the 27-inch on one 49-inch screen without any bezel. Like you mentioned, photographers or videographers or prosumers often have to switch between windows. They have multiple ads opening at the same time. You all just need extra space for working timeline. So with this super 49-inch ultra-wide curved monitor, they can have multiple apps open simultaneously without connecting bezel and have a far superior experience.
Yeah, so you're right, though, Danielle, that a lot of students and just regular computer users, they do like having a dual monitor experience. They like having two on their desk, either because they're multitasking, or as you said, if they're into art or animation, photography editing or video editing, they may use one monitor as their palette and the other one as their canvas, and then you can drag and drop between the two. But now with having a 49-inch ultra-wide and curved monitor on your desk, it replaces the need for having two 27-inch monitors, which would be the equivalent. And again, as you said, no bezels, no border, or any sort of distractions between you and your content. That's pretty wild. Now, I understand that the monitor, Danielle, also adjusts itself based on the brightness in the room. Can you explain that?
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned it. It is for automatic brightness control. So the LG UltraWide features on ambient light sensor that reacts to light and also adjusts the brightness of the screen to create this optimal display and environment. It is like having a photo detector that is used to sense the amount of ambient light present and dim the screen according to the light. So it's like having a little AI built onto the screen. Mm-hmm. It's a great feature for anyone on a deadline and forced to work from the afternoon to late into the evening.
Amazing. And I know LG has comparable technology in their TVs, so obviously you're leveraging that kind of ambient sensor to know what the lighting conditions are in the room and then delivering you an optimal view of your content, whether, again, it is for work or for play. And you said earlier it's an ergonomic monitor, so if I remember correctly, because I have spent some time with this a couple of months back, you can adjust it accordingly to best suit your chair height or, you know, your viewing angle so that it minimizes any sort of wear and tear on your body, right?
Yeah, correct. So you can adjust the height, can do the tilt, swivel, and also it's a VESA mountable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So you can mount this if you want. And it works with it's the VESA compliant or VESA compliant, VESA. So this is something, it's a universal standard. So you can buy a mount, not just from LG, but from other companies as well.
Yes.
Okay, great. Danielle, can you explain the difference between HDR or high dynamic range and HDR 10 and how it can help students aspire to be a better photo or video editor?
Certainly. So HDR, as you mentioned, it's a high dynamic range is the current standard for 4K content. So it aims to create a realistic picture which is closer to that seen by human eyes, right? This means you see a wider range of colors and depth in contrast between lighter and darker shades. Besides, just balancing colors and contrast, this technology combines dimming and adjusting brightness levels to produce pictures at the highest nit levels. HDR 10, in this case, is a newer standard of HDR, which helps improve picture quality by sending static metadata to a video stream, which is encoded information on color calibration setting required to make a picture look real. So in a nutshell, HDR technology is applied to various content, and LG UltraWide ensures viewers can always enjoy the dramatic colors of the content with lifelike detail.
Okay, so HDR10, it is an enhanced version of high dynamic range that offers better color reproduction, better contrast ratios, which is the difference between the whitest whites and the darkest blacks, and better brightness. So all the benefits that you would want, right, for sure.
Precisely, yes.
You said earlier, Danielle, that it was a 5K monitor. So I think our listeners are familiar with 4K. These are these televisions like the LG OLED and other models that have four times the resolution of HD. So 8 million dots, if you will, instead of 2 million. But you said this is 5K. So this is like even more detail. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so the 5120 by 1440 resolution, we call a 5K resolution. Basically, it gives a double pixel space on one screen. So you see a clearer picture.
Right.
You see more, you know, lifelike detail on the 5K monitors.
It's probably not just for video, like if you're watching, Netflix for fun, but even when you're looking at text on this monitor, because you're dealing with so many dots or pixels that make up the image, we're talking incredibly crisp text as well. So it's very good on the, even for words on the screen, like a word processor.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm. We're chatting with Danielle Chen, National Corporate Account Manager at LG Electronics. We're learning about this beautiful 49-inch ultra-wide and curved monitor for work and play, whether you're a student or you're going back to work full-time in the fall. Now, it sounds impressive, Danielle, with all the specs that we've been going through, and I encourage our listeners to Google 49-inch LG ultra-wide curved monitor and so they can see it for themselves. But with all this technology, how easy or difficult is it to set up? Do you need, like, a degree in computer engineering to get this to work for you?
Not at all. It only requires a single mouse click away for the setup. There is this on-screen control software included with the monitor will enable you to control various display settings. Screen split will help you divide the whole display area into 13 different templates to choose from, including PIP, which is picture-in-picture.
Right. Yeah, I
very
like that.
Simple to set up.
And students, again, I'll say this again. If you've ever watched your tween or your teen working, they have several windows open. It's very comfortable for them to multitask. And now you've got so much real estate in which to work with 49 inches, you can really get more done in less time. So is there, Danielle, a website that you'd recommend? I said earlier you could Google to see it in action, but is there a website where we can learn about pricing, store availability, and to see this monitor visually?
So to learn more about the LG 49-inch ultra-wide curved monitor, please visit LG.com.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your time, Danielle. Happy back-to-school season to you.
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for listening to Tech It Out. We'll be back shortly when we chat with OfferUp. But first, a thank you to ASUS, the title sponsor on this program. ASUS creates technology for today and tomorrow's smart life, including its line of award-winning laptops called ZenBooks. You can learn more at ASUS.com/US/radio. That's ASUS/US/radio. We'll be right back with more Tech It Out. Stay with us.
Listen to Tech It Out whenever you want. Find the Tech It Out podcast at iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the market for an innovative laptop, the ASUS ZenBook 14 model UX433 is an elegant laptop featuring a stunning nano-edge display with a 92% screen-to-body ratio. With its ErgoLift design, the back of the keyboard is slightly lifted for greater comfort and efficient cooling. Other features include a number pad, fast Intel Core i7 processor. Powered by Windows 10 Home, you can sign in fast, secure, and password-free with Windows Hello and the ZenBook's HD camera. Tech It Out is brought to you by ASUS. Listeners of my Tech It Out radio show and podcast know I travel a lot, and I often talk about Hotels.com, as I love their app, and of course, their rewards program that lets you earn free nights at nearly any property they sell. So I'm excited to announce an awesome Tech It Out contest. It's for August and September, where we're giving away a $250 Hotels.com gift card each week. All you have to do is follow Hotels.com on Twitter, tell us why you deserve a trip, and include the hashtag Tech It Out. Good luck.
This report is brought to you by the Satellite Broadcasting and Communications Association. This year, Congress has the opportunity to put an end to blackouts and rising TV costs, but we need your help. The Satellite Act, also known as Stellar, is a vital piece of legislation, ensuring that rural Americans, RV and camping enthusiasts, tailgaters, and long-haul truckers can watch broadcast network programming even in a remote location. Stellar also keeps pay TV bills in check for all Americans by requiring that TV broadcasters, satellite carriers, and cable companies all negotiate in good faith. However, if Congress fails to act before the end of the year, rural Americans, RVers, truckers, and campers will lose access to network programming. And there will be no mechanism in place to stop broadcasters from raising fees even higher, meaning everyday Americans will pay even more for the TV shows they already enjoy. Congress can act now, but we need your help. Call Senator Dianne Feinstein and tell her to reauthorize Stellar and modernize our TV rules. For more, visit StrongerWithSatellite.com/Stellar. That's S-T-E-L-A-R.
If you travel for business or pleasure, Hotels.com and the Hotels.com app is all you need to get great deals on all kinds of properties all over the world, and with an amazing rewards program that gives you free nights to stay at a property of your choice. Now, speaking of Hotels.com, we have an amazing Tech It Out contest for you. If you feel like you're in need of a getaway but are a little tight on cash, listen up. Each week, Hotels.com and Tech It Out are giving away a $250 Hotels.com gift card to put towards your travels. All you have to do is as follows. Go to Twitter and follow @hotels.com. Tweet out why you deserve a trip, just a sentence is fine, and include the hashtag TechItOut. That's it. Once again, to be eligible for the $250 Hotels.com gift card, one given away every week in August and September, follow Hotels.com on Twitter, tweet why you need a break, and include the hashtag TechItOut. One randomly drawn entry will be chosen each week. Good luck.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Welcome back to Tech It Out, everyone. This program is powered by ASUS. ASUS creates technology for today and tomorrow's smart life, including its line of award-winning laptops and desktops, monitors, smartphones, tablets, smartwatches, and more, including their line of gaming gear called ROG, or Republic of Gamers. For those in search of incredible, visit asus.com/us/radio. ASUS is spelled ASUS.com/us/radio. Online classified sites and apps are super popular as they can not only get you a great deal on things that you want to buy by leveraging your local community, but you can also get rid of things that you no longer want in your home and make some good money in the process. Today we're going to learn about an increasingly popular marketplace called OfferUp. Joining us on the line to chat is OfferUp CEO Nick Huzar. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Thanks, Mark, for having me.
Of course. So why don't we dive right in? Please tell us, our listeners, about OfferUp. What's it all about?
Yeah, OfferUp is the largest mobile marketplace in the United States where we make local buying and selling as easy as just taking and sharing a picture from your phone. We've been installed about 85 million times and we're one of the top four shopping apps in the U.S. So, again, our focus is to make buying and selling as simple as it possibly can be. and it's all powered by the mobile phone.
Okay, so you take a photo of what you want to sell, such as a bike or an old iPhone or something, and is there some AI, like artificial intelligence on the back end that's identifying what you're photographing, and then you can add some extra words and pricing and things like that manually?
Yeah, we do a little bit of that. So our focus is to make buying and selling simple. And so when you take a picture of an item, you know, we try to learn as much about that item as we can so we could help you, suggest categories, for example. But posting is really, really easy. It takes maybe 30 seconds to make an item discoverable on OfferUp.
Okay. And I know there is a website as well. Like, I'm looking at the site on a web browser. So it is available for desktops too, but it's primarily focusing on mobile.
Yeah, we're very focused on the mobile phone and all the advantages that a mobile phone brings, such as the convenience of being in your pocket and being able to take a picture quickly. All the communication back and forth is wrapped around chat that's built into the app, so you're not having to give out your phone number or your email. Mm-hmm. You can even include maps in chat, so when you want to conclude the transaction, you can decide when and where to meet. We make that easy. And on top of that, we also have built-in payments, so you no longer have to visit an ATM and deal with the headache of carrying cash around. Now you can just walk up to somebody, hit a button on the phone, and instantly pay them all through the OfferUp experience.
Huh, that's interesting. So I was going to ask you next how OfferUp differs from other online classified solutions like LetGo or Craigslist, and it sounds like the payment one may be unique. Can you walk us through some of the differentiating features of OfferUp compared to the other sites and apps?
Sure. Yeah, there's a few things I think we've gone very deep into. One of those is all the things we do around trust and safety. And so when you're bringing millions of people together every month, you know, trust is extremely important to the platform that we're building. So, you know, we invested in a few different areas that we think are very important for people. Number one is just building out a basic profile so you understand who are you dealing with and having ratings at the end of every transaction. And we really want to understand, you know, are people showing up on time? It's one of the biggest complaints we hear on all local marketplaces that, you know, buyers don't, you know, aren't always showing up and sellers aren't always showing up. So how do we build reputation and really make sure people understand who they're dealing with when they come face to face? I think the other thing that we spend a lot of time on is our community meetup program. We now have almost 2,000 of these around the country. And there are these third-party locations for people to meet. It's anywhere from retail stores to law enforcement. And so when you're chatting back and forth with an OfferUp, you'll see that we're suggesting these community meetup spots. And those are all different locations through various folks that we partner with. And the goal is to make that just a more convenient and trusted place for people to meet. We also do quite a bit, like I said, in the world of payments. We're really excited about the future and mobile payments. And not only does that reduce friction, but we also think that that helps with establishing trust the way that we've built it. So it's a feature we call hold offers, where you are committing to actually buy the item by putting in some form of payment. And then when you show up, you're releasing the funds. So we're pretty excited given it's we're the first in the U.S. to bring this to market.
Mm-hmm. We're chatting with OfferUp CEO Nick Huzar, learning about this increasingly popular online marketplace that you use an app or maybe a website to connect with other buyers and sellers. Now, so Nick, when you use an app to buy something instead of cash, is that, like you said, sort of like a placeholder, or is there like an OfferUp currency whereby if I sell my bike to somebody for $80, I then get like an OfferUp credit that I could use then to buy something else through the app?
Today, we're simply facilitating, you know, payments, you know, back and forth. So, you know, for example, you can use Google Wallet, Apple Pay. These are all options that are currently built in. Okay. It's very early days for us. There's a lot of headroom and things that we want to continue to invest in, again, to further simplify the end-to-end experience for our customers.
Okay, got it. Thanks for the clarification. And we will continue to chat with OfferUp after this short break. We'll learn a little bit more about the service and what makes it stand out from the likes of Craigslist or Kijiji or LetGo and other similar online platforms. And also, when we return, I'll remind you about the Hotels.com contest. It's a really good one. I do want to thank Western Digital for their support on this program and their super rugged G Technology branded Armor ATD portable hard drive. It's designed for those looking for a durable drive to bring on the go, especially for content creators like photographers and videographers. Go to g-technology.com for more information on the Armor ATD portable hard drive. We'll be right back with more Tech It Out when we continue chatting with OfferUp. Stay with us.
Want to follow Mark? Google him. Mark with a Z and Saltzman with a Z.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media sound bites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
Breaking down geek speak into street speak. This is Tech It Out. Tech It Out with technology columnist, author, and TV personality Mark Saltzman.
Welcome back to Tech It Out. Before we continue our chat with OfferUp, a popular online marketplace for buying and selling items, I do want to remind you about our huge contest with Hotels.com. You can be eligible to win a $250 Hotels.com gift card for a free hotel stay, or two nights, in fact. If you're a legal U.S. resident who's at least 18 years old, here's how to enter. Number one, go to Twitter and follow Hotels.com. Number two, send a tweet with a sentence on why you could use a free hotel stay. And number three, include the hashtag TechItOut, the name of the show. That's it. We'll randomly draw a winner and read it next weekend on the air, and I'll announce it on social media as well. Speaking of which, the winner of last week's contest was Soluna Rain from Ventura, California. congratulations. I did wish her congrats on Twitter. Saluna Rain from Ventura, California. You're the winner of a $250 Hotels.com gift card. All right, let's continue on with our interview. We're chatting with OfferUp CEO Nick Huzar, learning about this increasingly popular online marketplace that you use an app or maybe a website to connect with other buyers and sellers. Can you walk us through the process as a buyer and then again as a seller? Like, just take us right through everything for those who are listening and intrigued by this.
Yeah, happy to. So as a buyer, we really built OfferUp to be a discovery-based experience. And so when you open up OfferUp, it's going to know roughly where you're located and show you a variety of things that are located all around you. Anything from a car to clothing, furniture. I mean, you name it, you're going to be able to visualize what people are buying and selling, you know, all around. And so you can simply click on an item that you see, and you get a little bit more information about that item, such as price and maybe more of a description about, you know, what the item's about. You can read about the seller. You can see roughly where the item's located. And then you can decide, do I want to ask a question or do I want to just simply make an offer on that item? At that point, you're engaged in chat and you're communicating back and forth with the seller and hopefully figuring out a time to meet. So it's really, really that simple on the buy side. There's ways to click into different categories and search, and we even have a little bit of personalization based on how you use the product. But that's generally how we how the buy side works.
Got it.
Yeah, so from a seller's perspective, I use the story of selling my dad's car. So my father had an old Miata in his garage, been sitting there for literally over 10 years. He just wanted to get rid of it. It was pretty much parts. So I posted it on OfferUp, and I got a whole bunch of engagement right away. And the challenge, of course, is, you know, is somebody actually going to show up and purchase this car? So I had a few people no-show on me, which was frustrating. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, this one gentleman used our new hold offer feature, and he said, I'm willing to, you know, buy the car. And he showed that he was, you know, committed by putting in his credit card behind his offer. So I agreed to sell it to him, and we were just chatting back and forth, and I shared the location of my dad's house all within chat, so I'm never having to give out my personal information. He showed up, inspected the vehicle, and we, you know, talked about it a little bit. It was really actually kind of had a deep connection to it. I took my date to prom in it. So it's been sitting there a long time, but it was time to get rid of it. So, you know, he looked at it. He didn't have to deal with all the headaches of, you know, going to the bank to get cash. Instead, he literally just hit a button on his phone and he paid for the car, and I handed him the keys, and it was probably the fastest transaction I've ever had in buying and selling a vehicle.
Wow.
So that was really a great experience. I think for him as the buyer, made it easy, but for me as a seller, it couldn't have gone more seamless. And again, that's part of what OfferUp is all about, is really taking that end-to-end local experience and making it as easy as we can.
Just as we wrap up, Nick, what's the revenue model for OfferUp?
There's two big areas that we've focused on as a company. Number one is promotions, and that's just simply making sellers more successful. So how do we get them more visibility? How do we help them to sell things faster? On top of that, we actually sell quite a few vehicles. In fact, we estimate about 10% of the used car market in the country was facilitated on OfferUp last year.
Wow.
And so we have a program for auto dealers, and we help them to be more successful on OfferUp as well. So we charge anywhere from $200 up to $2,000, depending on the size of the lot. And we're just having a great time signing up dealers at the moment and helping them to sell cars faster. We're finding that when a dealer signs up on OfferUp, they sell cars, typically 30% of their cars within 2 days and 50% within a week. So it's really working well for them. And then the second piece is our payments business. And that kind of has two different flavors. One is in-person payments, which we've talked about a little bit today. And the second one is our shipping business, which we take a 10% transaction fee on. And that's simply to help people, you know, buy and sell things, not only locally, but also anywhere across the country.
Oh, so you offer that as well, kind of like an eBay, where it's a marketplace whereby you would ship the product to somebody somewhere else.
Yeah, so the way we have incorporated shipping, and again, the goal goes back to the focus of the company, is to make, you know, transactions as simple as possible. And so, you know, with shipping, how it works is you post an item as a seller on OfferUp exactly how you would to sell something locally, and then there's simply an option to enable it for shipping, which helps you to not only maybe, you know, sell it on a local level to somebody that may not be willing to get in the car for the item, but it also exposes you to a national audience. And so when people engage, you know, on the item that you're posting, now you simply, you know, once you accept somebody's offer, you get a label in the mail, and you're able to, you know, stick it onto the item and actually, ship it versus Meetup. And so we've seen a lot of success from people not only locally. We've also seen a lot of small merchants using this as a way to reach new customers via the platform. Mm. And so we're pretty excited about this business. It's one we launched about a year ago, but it's got really strong momentum, and we're continuing to invest in this area.
All right, Offer Up. I'm assuming it's a free download for both iOS at the App Store and Android devices from Google Play. And then the website is simply offerup.com. Thanks so much for your time, Nick Huzar, CEO of Offer Up. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark, for having me.
Hey, when we return on Tech It Out, we're going to chat with Square, a company best known for that little white square that's often inserted into a smartphone or a tablet, and you swipe your card or tap your card, whether it's debit or credit, in order to make a payment, like in a taxi or in a small restaurant. But they've got a new machine, a new terminal for customers that they're going to chat with us about. Again, it's from Square. That's coming up shortly after this break. And one last thank you to Asus, the title sponsor on this program. Asus creates technology for today and tomorrow's smart life, including its line of award-winning laptops, desktops, monitors, smartphones, tablets, smartwatches, and more. For those in search of incredible, visit asus.com/US/radio for more info. That's asus.com/US/radio. Stay with us. You're listening to Tech It Out on the Radio America Network.
Breaking down geek speak into street speak, Tech It Out, hosted by Mark Saltzman.
This report is brought to you by the Satellite Broadcasting and Communications Association. This year, Congress has the opportunity to put an end to blackouts and rising TV costs, but we need your help. The Satellite Act, also known as Stellar, is a vital piece of legislation, ensuring that rural Americans, RV and camping enthusiasts, tailgaters, and long-haul truckers can watch broadcast network programming even in a remote location. Stellar also keeps pay TV bills in check for all Americans by requiring that TV broadcasters, satellite carriers, and cable companies all negotiate in good faith. However, if Congress fails to act before the end of the year, rural Americans, RVers, truckers, and campers will lose access to network programming. And there will be no mechanism in place to stop broadcasters from raising fees even higher, meaning everyday Americans will pay even more for the TV shows they already enjoy. Congress can act now, but we need your help. Call Senator Dianne Feinstein and tell her to reauthorize Stellar and modernize our TV rules. For more, visit strongerwithsatellite.com/Stellar. That's S-T-E-L-A-R.
Listeners of my Tech It Out radio show and podcast know I travel a lot, and I often talk about Hotels.com, as I love their app and, of course, their rewards program that lets you earn free nights at nearly any property they sell. So I'm excited to announce an awesome Tech It Out contest. It's for August and September, where we're giving away a $250 Hotels.com gift card each week. All you have to do is follow Hotels.com on Twitter, tell us why you deserve a trip, and include the hashtag Tech It Out. Good luck. Gamers, listen up. If you want a laptop with no trade-offs, one that's packed with power yet still portable, check out the ROG Zephyrus SGX701 from Asus. Up your game with this 17-inch laptop squeezed into a 15-inch body. Under the hood, it has the latest NVIDIA GeForce RTX 2080, 8th-gen Intel Core i7, SSD storage up to a terabyte, and runs Windows 10 Pro. Learn more at asus.com. Tech It Out is powered by Asus for those in search of incredible.
This report is brought to you by the Satellite Broadcasting and Communications Association. This year, Congress has the opportunity to put an end to blackouts and rising TV costs, but we need your help. The Satellite Act, also known as Stellar, is a vital piece of legislation, ensuring that rural Americans, RV and camping enthusiasts, tailgaters, and long-haul truckers can watch broadcast network programming even in a remote location. Stellar also keeps pay TV bills in check for all Americans by requiring that TV broadcasters, satellite carriers, and cable companies all negotiate in good faith. However, if Congress fails to act before the end of the year, rural Americans, RVers, truckers, and campers will lose access to network programming, and there will be no mechanism in place to to stop broadcasters from raising fees even higher, meaning everyday Americans will pay even more for the TV shows they already enjoy. Congress can act now, but we need your help. Call Senator Dianne Feinstein and tell her to reauthorize Stellar and modernize our TV rules. For more, visit StrongerWithSatellite.com/Stellar. That's S-T-E-L-A-R.
Welcome back to Tech It Out, everyone. Hope you're having a great weekend, despite my small cold, which I'm almost over. I'm doing great. Sorry for the nasal voice this weekend, but I'm on the up and up. And hey, I'm going to the Apple event in Cupertino, California on Monday for Tuesday's big day. Of course, new iPhones are going to be unveiled, the iPhone 11, allegedly called the iPhone 11, and maybe a few other products as well. And super stoked. And I'll give you, of course, a full report on next weekend's Tech It Out with all the big announcements and analysis from the big event at Apple's HQ on One Infinite Loop is the address there. So I'm really excited about going. So I'll fill you in next weekend. All right, let's continue on with Tech It Out. While you might not know it by name, you've likely paid for something like a cab ride or a sandwich at a small restaurant by having your credit card or debit card swiped into a small white square. It's usually connected to a smartphone. It's called Square, and the company is now giving merchants a larger terminal with a touchscreen and some other bells and whistles, all for taking payments and giving receipts. And according to the company, it's secure, reliable, and what they call is a fairer way to get paid. And what does that mean for you as the customer? Joining us on the line to tell us more is Jesse Dorogosky. He's the head of hardware at Square. Welcome to the show, Jesse.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Why don't we start off with like a very high-level look at the company and your technology. What is Square all about?
Sure. So our mission from the very beginning has been to get the tools of commerce into as many people's hands as possible, people who have typically been left out of the financial system, have been excluded from something as basic as credit card acceptance. And from the beginning, we focus on something that is affordable and simple for a very big number, surprisingly big number of businesses all over the world who need the tools of the modern era.
So it's been said, Jesse, that good technology solves a problem. So how does Square fit in here? What was wrong with the other way of doing it, like having a merchant Visa or something like that?
The initial problem is that many millions of people were excluded from the basics of credit card acceptance. And even though everyone was carrying around a supercomputer in their pocket, they still weren't able to accept the billions of credit cards that were in consumers' hands. That very basic access to the rails of commerce is the problem we set out to solve.
Okay. And even if they did have all that set up to use a credit card or debit card, they often have to give a pretty healthy percentage portion to the credit card issuer, correct? But with Square, from what I understand, the merchant gets to keep more in their own pocket. Is that right?
So the traditional banking system signs businesses up to an incredible array of fees and contracts that are dizzying. Different rates for different cards, contracts, breakage fees, compliance fees, security fees, all which not only add up, but are incredibly confusing for businesses that are small or growing over time. So we have insisted on very simple flat rate pricing for credit card payments. It still costs us money, and our customers pay for a per payment fee, but there are no additional complicated contracts that they have to contend with. That's been a real breakthrough in accepting more people into the system.
All right. Thanks for the clarification there, Jesse. So as I mentioned off the top, I was introduced to Square as a little square that was, you know, usually inserted into a smartphone. I think you've gone from like swiping to tapping. But have you abandoned that little square reader in favor of these new terminals, or is it both?
Sure. The square reader continues to be a big part of our strategy to reach businesses that are otherwise excluded from commerce. They have a very low cost and simple way to get started, even if they're a casual or seasonal business. And that continues to be true. What we're adding with the Square Terminal is an appeal to larger businesses with more complex needs, either multiple locations or multiple employees, businesses that can't or don't want to be dependent on a smartphone or tablet, a personal device for running their business day to day.
Can you give us an example of a kind of business that would benefit still from that square reader, the little white one, as well as those with this new terminal?
Sure. The square reader is an incredible mobile device, fits in your pocket, pairs to any smartphone or tablet. You can use it wherever your smartphone has coverage. You can use it to break down long lines. You can do it on the curbside. You can really do it anywhere, and it's great for that mobile use case. The terminal is for larger businesses that don't want to hand out a personal phone to their employees, that don't want to hand out their iTunes ID or Google Play store ID to their employees or store manager, who are looking for a dedicated device that runs the day-to-day operations of their business.
All right. Thank you for that. We will continue chatting with Square for the second half of this interview. We'll learn a little bit more about the Square terminal. Maybe you run a small business. I do have many small business owners who tune into this program either on their local radio station or on the podcast. So I would love to know if you think there's value in this as well. You can always send me a note on social media. I'm at Mark Saltzman, MarkSaltzman, or on my website. If you want to email me privately, you can do so at MarkSaltzman.com. Be curious to know your feedback. If you use Square and what you think. Speaking of what you think about Square, you can also tell me what you think about the program. Maybe you've got some feedback on Tech It Out, a guest you'd like me to tackle in an upcoming show. Not literally, I'm not a big guy. Or a topic you'd like me to tackle. Maybe let's just put it that way. Or if there's something you like or don't like about the program, I'd love your feedback. You know, we started this in July of 2017, so it's a relatively young show. I guess in tech years, it's been around for a long time. But I'm always up for improving and getting your feedback. Or even if you have a tech question, I always do my best to write back to listeners. We all know technology can be overwhelming and intimidating, so you can hit me up privately or publicly. And one last reminder for the last 30 seconds we have on this block about the Hotels.com contest. You can be eligible to win a $250 gift card from Hotels.com. If you're a legal U.S. resident who's at least 18 years old, here's how to enter. Go to Twitter and follow Hotels.com. Send a tweet to them with a sentence on why you could use a free stay in a hotel. And finally, include the hashtag TechItOut. That's all you have to do to be eligible. We're going to randomly draw a winner four more times. We've already given away four of these prizes, and we do have eight in total, so good luck. One per week. You can enter once per day to be eligible for the random draw, and no purchase is necessary. We will be right back with more TechItOut on the Radio America Network.
Follow Mark Saltzman on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Listen to TechItOut whenever you want.
Carl's Jr. presents The Breakfast That Got Away.
Ever since you left, I've been broken. When the sun rises, my heart falls. You gave me a reason to get up in the morning. Please, come back.
It's back! Carl's Jr.'s chorizo biscuit and burrito are back on the breakfast menu. Get spicy chorizo, egg, and pepper jack cheese on a made-from-scratch biscuit. Or all that wrapped in a warm tortilla with crispy hash browns and fresh-made salsa. Get the chorizo biscuit and burrito today at Carl's Jr. Available for a limited time at participating locations.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
We are chatting with Jesse Dorogusker. He is the head of hardware at Square. Could you explain, Jesse, what this Square terminal looks like? Is it similar to those contactless terminals that we may get handed to us at a restaurant to tap or insert our card? And what are the benefits as consumers for us to use these devices?
So the payment terminal is a utility and a benefit for sellers, but the way we've designed our Square terminal is also very focused on the buyer, focused on the consumer. First is that they can pay whichever way they want to pay. credit card, debit card, contactless, contact, Apple Pay, Google Pay, pay with your watch. All of those things are supported on our terminal. Second, our terminal is built on modern technology, so it has a big, bright, beautiful touchscreen that consumers can actually read, and they can do that without their glasses, and they don't have to squint, and they don't have to have good light. They can actually read what they're being charged. They can look through an itemized list of what they're being charged and know that they're being treated fairly. In addition, because, again, it's a modern system built on software, they can enter their email address or phone number and receive digital receipts instead of that piece of paper that you fold up and put in your back pocket. So it's a real modernization of the traditional payment terminal.
So I understand the last two benefits, having a larger screen and choosing an email option if you want to go paperless, but not sure if I understand the benefit to the first reason that you mentioned.
Sure. Many terminals are capable of all of those forms of payment, but some of them don't support it. For example, there are some payment systems that don't support American Express cards, and that's a business decision on their part, and that's because their supply chain charges them different amounts for American Express. That's one of the reasons we have a blended price, so we don't put that burden on the buyer or the seller to have a strong preference on a rewards card or an Amex card or any other kind of card, so they can pay with whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly in a market like the U.S. where contactless is newer, we still see many, many places of business that don't support contactless, and even though people are walking around with Apple Pay and Google Pay, are left stranded.
Sometimes my kids leave the house without cash because they just assume everywhere has tap to pay because they've got funds loaded on their phone, right, through their bank account app. But, yeah, very funny. We're chatting with Jesse Doro-Gusker. He's the head of hardware at Square. We're learning about a new Square terminal that is being rolled out across the country. Can you talk to us about the user experience when using Square? You mentioned earlier that it was easier to see. Is there anything else that we should know? And maybe you can walk us through the process about what we see as consumers when it's time to pay.
Sure. Well, the entire device was designed with consumer sensibility and usability in mind. It's beautiful to look at. It's simple to hold. The screen is very easy to read. All of the prompts are super clear. And it's built on software, and we issue free and seamless software updates every 3 weeks to make sure that we're refining the user experience, fixing any little glitches, and taking information back from the field and being able to incorporate it into our product. The experience of paying, the mechanics of it, will be familiar to people who have paid with cards. But what they'll get instead are clear instructions, a lot of transparency in what they're paying for. They don't have to squint at a tiny monochrome screen and try to make sense of what they're being charged. And then they can have confidence that they're being charged amount and charged the right amount and given a receipt the way they want to receive a receipt. These things are all things you could envision on a modern computing system. And unfortunately, most payment terminals in the world don't offer a modern computing system, and we do now.
Do you still support the MagStripe? Like if your credit card or debit card doesn't have tap?
We do. MagStripe technology is supported on our system. It is indeed quite old, but it's a really good backup so that the seller can always make a sale.
So we went from swiping to inserting to tapping, but I think there's still a limit on how much you can pay with tap. Do you have to rent or buy the terminals?
Terminals can be purchased outright for a fixed price or also purchased in installments to spread those payments out depending on how the business runs. We have not typically rented our terminals. We've seen this as a tactic that traditional providers use to get you to pay for your terminal many times over its lifetime, and we don't think that's very fair.
And is it just as secure, that transaction, as the existing terminals that you may use?
Absolutely. We were founded as a payments company. We've always taken payments very seriously, and we meet or exceed everything the industry expects of us.
Finally, Jesse, what's next for Square, and where can we learn more about these new terminals? Maybe there's some small businesses listening that would like to embrace those.
The best way to learn about what we have to offer in hardware and software is at square.com or square.com/shop to see what hardware we're offering these days. You can always learn about the latest and greatest technology and also what our sellers are saying about our products.
All right. Jesse Doro-Gusker, head of hardware at Square. Thank you so much for your time. Nice to chat with you.
Thank you, Mark.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning into Tech It Out each and every week, whether you listen to us on your local radio station, maybe you subscribe to the podcast. Thank you for that. And the Tech It Out Interstitial, a 1-minute daily segment, runs also nationally and also on Sirius XM. on the When Radio Was show on Radio Classics 144, I believe, which is very cool. Thank you to Hotels.com and to ASUS and Western Digital and all the amazing partners we have on this show. And good luck in that Hotels.com contest. If you go to Twitter, follow Hotels.com, tweet why you'd like a free stay in a hotel, and add the phrase Tech It Out, and you will be eligible for a $250 Hotels.com gift card. So good luck to you on that. Have a great rest of your week, everyone. Catch up with you next time on Tech It Out.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR or receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
VMA.org.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRostro. U.S. Coast Guard says it's rescued a total of 290 people in the Bahamas following Hurricane Dorian. 9 Coast Guard cutters in the Bahamas to help out. 6 MH-60 Jayhawk helicopters carrying out search and rescue missions. Meanwhile, weather forecasters expect Dorian weakening, but arriving off the southeastern Canadian coast still with hurricane-force winds, heavy rain, and dangerous storm surge. Expected to hit portions of eastern Nova Scotia and western Newfoundland by late today or early tomorrow. 19 Democrats running for president in New Hampshire today for the state party convention.
Good morning, Democrats!
The convention is an important chance for them to woo political power brokers in the first-in-the-nation primary state. All the candidates get to speak and make the case that they're the best Democrat to take on President Trump. DNC Chairman Tom Perez says despite 19-plus candidates, in the end, they'll unite behind the Democratic nominee.
In order to win, we are at our best when we are united, and we will be united.
Democrats in New Hampshire have been slow to endorse so far. That's due in part to the large number of candidates in the race, as well as lingering tensions over the 2016 primary battle between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. I'm Julie Walker.
Health officials are issued a renewed warning as the number of people sickened with lung disease linked to vaping continues to rise.
Officials with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are urging people to stop vaping until they figure out the cause of serious lung illnesses that have been linked to the use of e-cigarettes. Dr. Dana Meany-Delman is the incident manager for the CDC.
More information is needed to determine which specific products or substances are involved.
Officials upped the number of possible cases they'd identified to 450, including at least 3 deaths.
That's Jennifer King with that report. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Something you need to know about Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners. They're on a mission to help as many people as possible to get out of pain. They've been a consistent sponsor of this show. In radio, sponsors come and go. They may even stay for a year or so, and then they're gone. Not so with Relief Factor. Pete and Seth are consistent year after year. Why? Because tens of thousands of people are now taking Relief Factor every day for their back and neck pain, shoulder pain, hip pain, knee pain, etc. And now they're in less or no pain at all. That's the truth. I'd like you to try it. 3-week quick start is just $19.95. In 3 weeks, you'll know if it works. How's that? Is that a great thing or what? Cancel if it doesn't work. Otherwise, it's the best $19.95 you will have spent. That's the quick start, relieffactor.com.
In the college admissions scandal, federal prosecutors say actress Felicity Huffman should spend time behind bars for her role
and getting your kids in college.
The U.S. Attorney's Office in Boston, in a filing before a judge, says Felicity Huffman's sense of entitlement, or at least moral cluelessness, facilitated by wealth and insularity, led her to buy a fake SAT score for her daughter. And because of that, she should spend a month in jail when sentenced next Friday for paying $15,000 for someone to correct her daughter's SAT answers. Her lawyers say she should get probation, a fine, and community service. In her letter she wrote to the judge, Huffman says she had talked herself into believing she was giving her daughter a fair shot at school, only to betray her and fail her family. I'm Tim McGuire.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The Hawaii Innocence Project says a former U.S. Navy sailor's statutory rape conviction has been overturned.
University of Hawaii's law school, where the Innocence Project is located, announced Friday that a state Supreme Court ruling officially sets aside the conviction of Roynes Durrell. Project co-director Ken Lawson says Durrell spent 8 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. Durrell was charged with sex assault in 2002, accused of having sex with his ex-girlfriend's daughter. Officials at the Innocence Project say they presented evidence that convinced the Hawaii paroling authority to release him on early parole while his case was being appealed. Patrick Frost reporting.
Justice Neil Gorsuch has a book being published on Tuesday. It's called America. It's called A Republic, If You Can Keep It. The 52-year-old justice nominated by President Trump said he wrote the book because Americans have lost the civility in public discourse. More at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
The average adult has issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
The Redding Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here, and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Redding Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at reddingrancheria.com.
Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Popular Technology Radio. Glad to have you aboard for us today. And today we are talking about digital music. It is an Apple services, actually. So we're going to kind of do a lot of conversation about that stuff. And who else better to join me on this conversation than my good friend Jay Gilbert? He's the co-founder of Label Logic, which is a label and artist services organization. He is also the curator, and it was his wonderful idea to put a weekly newsletter out called Your Morning Coffee, which you can go to Label Logic's website and find out more about that. It is a wonderful newsletter that covers everything going on in the world of digital music. Good morning, Jay. For us,
good morning.
As I was mulling over what we were going to talk about today, I thought we should start with just the statement that we live in a wonderful time. You and I are of an age. We without belying our age, we are baby boomers.
Yes.
Kind of near the end of the baby boomers, but we're baby boomers nonetheless. And, you know, I remember when I moved out, the first thing that I moved out and moved in was my crate of albums.
It was heavy, wasn't it?
It was heavy. And every time I moved in college and as a young adult, the albums were the last to go in my little Datsun truck. And then when I arrived at wherever I was moving to, it was the first stuff to go in because I wanted to set up the stereo. And my foray into albums
And this is, depending, if you're listening to this and you're of our age, you remember this. If you're younger than that, you may just have a blank stare on your face. But I started my album collection with the Columbia Record Club, which I think it was 12 albums for a penny, I think it was.
Yeah.
And you were locked into buying, I think, six at full price. But that's how I started my record collection.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people did.
And then we moved on, and you and I both together and at the same time worked in the music business. And so when CDs were introduced, we, of course, had massive collections of CDs, as I still do. And now for my kids' generation, our kids' generation, they pay $9.99 a month or so, maybe going up a little bit, if not already. And they have access to
just
everything ever recorded.
Yeah.
Fingertips.
Yeah, just about.
We live in wonderful times.
Well, you skipped over just briefly the download era there, you know, which happened pretty fast.
Yes.
It was a quick burn, right? I mean, the configuration jumped in there really fast, took over the world, and then streaming came in, you know, screaming, and here we are. But you're right. I mean, it's pretty much everything. You know, it's Apple Music is like somewhere around 50 million tracks. So yeah, you're absolutely right.
But I would tell you though, interestingly enough, whenever we have kind of a format change, and I'll use movies as an example. When it first came to it was Beta and VHS. Remember the battle mm-hmm. for that, and then VHS ended up winning, and then we moved to DVDs, mm-hmm. and we moved to Blu-ray, and of course now downloads and streaming services as well for that.
Right.
But lots of stuff gets kind of left behind. So.
Yeah.
For various reasons, licensing or rights issues or all kinds of stuff, there is a lot of stuff that never makes it to the next thing. So I caught myself when I was talking about all of the music ever recorded, because that is not true. There's a lot of stuff that went out of print at some point and...
Or to your point that they don't have the rights to. There's so much stuff that could be put out if the lawyers could get together and work out, you know, the math.
Well, but it may not be worth it. That's always the equation that goes into them.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth it to go and really track down a lot of this stuff? But there's a big business online of people still buying CDs because mm-hmm. it's not available on any of the streaming services. Or vinyl that never made it to CD, which in turn never made it to the stream.
Right, and the stat that I like to shout out sometimes that I got from my business partner, Jeff Mosco, is that the average car age in the United States is 11 and a half years, and most of them still have CD players. So there you go.
So true, as mine does. So right now in the U.S., if you are a music fan or you want to subscribe to any music service, it's kind of the big four, right? So it's Apple, Spotify, Google, and Amazon. Am I missing anybody that's...
Well,
four, but
here's the thing. The biggest music streaming service isn't really a digital service provider. It's YouTube, right? So
right.
Putting that aside, I mean, more people listen to music on YouTube than anywhere else. Yeah, you're correct. You know, it's Spotify, it's Apple Music, it's Amazon, you know, and depending what part of the world you're in, you know, Deezer or, you know, Pandora is still a beast.
Of an asterisk by that one, right?
Okay.
That's a little different. So we've named the biggies, and when we come back, we are going to talk about what's going on with each one, and then we're going to kind of get back to Apple Music a little bit and their
services
and how things are changing. So on that note, we are going to take a quick break. You're listening to Pop Deck Radio. I'm Mike Etcher, and I've got Jay Gilder here with us, and we've got more when we come back.
Now's the time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle, because we're offering Dodge Power Dollars, which means for each horsepower, you'll get $10 off your purchase. Roll out in the Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye and get $7,970 off. Maybe you'll take off in a Dodge Charger or tear up the streets in a Durango. Hurry in to your local Dodge dealer now and save. See dealer for details. Often not available on vehicle leases. Take retail delivery from dealer stock by 9/30/19. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Over the years, automakers have spent a lot of time talking about the future. At Kia, they don't sit around dreaming of a better tomorrow, because they already made it, so that you can have it today. Introducing Kia's lineup of electrified Niro SUVs, the hybrid, the plug-in, and the electric, with an EPA estimated range of 239 miles. Because the future is just the future until we make something of it. Kia, give it everything. 239-mile EPA estimated range on a full charge. Actual range may vary. Niro EV is in select retailers and select markets with limited availability. The big news from Subaru is the three-row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating.
It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has interior space you need for your whole crew. And it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The three-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This report is brought to you by the Satellite Broadcasting and Communications Association. This year, Congress has the opportunity to put an end to blackouts and rising TV costs, but we need your help. The Satellite Act, also known as Stellar, is a vital piece of legislation, ensuring that rural Americans, RV and camping enthusiasts, tailgaters, and long-haul truckers can watch broadcast network programming even in a remote location. Stellar also keeps pay TV bills in check for all Americans by requiring that TV broadcasters, satellite carriers, and cable companies all negotiate in good faith. However, if Congress fails to act before the end of the year, rural Americans, RVers, truckers, and campers will lose access to network programming, and there will be no mechanism in place to stop broadcasters from raising fees even higher, meaning everyday Americans will pay even more for the TV shows they already enjoy. Congress can act now, but we need your help. Call Senator Dianne Feinstein and tell her to reauthorize Stellar and modernize our TV rules. For more, visit StrongerWithSatellite.com/Stellar. That's S-T-E-L-A-R.
Mike Etchart with my good friend Jay Gilbert. He, of course, is co-founder of Labelogic, which is a label and artist services organization. He is the curator of a wonderful, wonderful newsletter for digital music called Your Morning Coffee. If you go to labelogic.com, I think it is, Jay. Is it labelogic.net?
Yeah,
.net, forgive me. And you can subscribe to his awesome newsletter that comes out every Friday. So, Jay, so we were talking about the biggies, Apple, Spotify,
yeah.
Amazon, Google, YouTube with an asterisk by it, Pandora with an asterisk by it, but
yeah.
Of the subscription services, the pure subscription services, so that is Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and Google, what's the ranking right now in terms of just popularity?
Well, Spotify is the big dog on campus, but remember, they have a free tier, and Apple Music does not.
Yeah.
So, you know, I believe Apple Music has more paying subscribers in the United States or in North America than Spotify does. But remember, Spotify had, you know, a pretty big head start, you know, coming out for streaming. So in sheer numbers, you know, it's Spotify, you know, then it's Apple Music. But don't count out Amazon. They're growing very fast because of the popularity of the smart speaker, the Echo.
Yes.
They're very smart, and they're doing some really, really creative things there where you can say, hey, play the best songs from 1989 or, you know, play the best jazz tunes from the year I graduated from high school. They're doing some really interesting things there, and I think that's really kind of the next phase of music streaming.
Well, you know, one of the things I talk about with, because I work with students, as you do in a different capacity,
yeah.
And you've been kind enough to come into classes that I've been in, and I always kind of tell the story of the big four. I say, let's talk about how they make most of their money. Apple, of course, makes it on hardware, for the most part, and Google, of course, makes it on advertising, online advertising. Amazon makes it on name the product. Spotify is kind of the outlier.
Mm-hmm.
All they do is digital music, and that puts them in a bit of a precarious position, does it not? They don't own any of their content. They license it. They all license it, but they don't have another line item of business
yes.
to support their music business. What does that mean to their long-term health, shall we say?
Well, you're absolutely right, and what probably makes them a little nervous is that all these other companies that you're talking about, music is not their primary business. In some cases, it's not even one of their strongest verticals. So, you know, when you talk about an Amazon or an Apple or a Google, if they lost music tomorrow, they would still be fine. as companies. They do it for a lot of other reasons, whether it's to sell services or, you know, bring traffic through the door or devices. There's a lot of other reasons that they do it. Spotify, they have been losing money, which isn't necessarily a horrible thing. Amazon lost money for years on books before they were profitable and on music before they were profitable. So that in and of itself is not, you know, an indictment against Spotify, but they are hemorrhaging cash. They're heavily funded right now, so they're going to be around for the foreseeable future. But there are those in the business that feel like their next move is really to be acquired by somebody else. That music is not their primary business.
Yeah, it's funny. I just changed my auto insurance. And every now and again, I go, oh, you know, I need to go and kind of revisit and make sure I'm getting the best value for my auto insurance.
Right.
And all of us have so many different now subscription monthly dings coming out of checking. And we're going to have some bigger decisions to make in the next 6 months, let's say 8 months, as you know, Disney Plus coming online.
Right.
Or Warner's is naming there, or AT&T now is naming there. Service. And, you know, are you in for HBO or are you out for HBO, depending on what you're interested in? You know, what I tell students is at some point, all of the other three besides Spotify can absorb increases in licensing fees if they choose to. So that puts them an advantage over Spotify, whereas if they get increased licensing fees, which always go up, they're going to pass that along to you. And maybe you're going to find that Spotify might be a dollar more, let's say, in the future.
Right.
The other ones, what's your decision-making process? Do you stick with them? If it's $2 more, do you stick with them?
Right.
So Amazon, so Spotify potentially is at a disadvantage for this reason alone, right?
Right. And there's also, don't forget the other side of that coin, which is their free slash, advertised-based tier with 100 million users. What happens when, and this has been the trend lately, what happens when the rights holders, you know, typically the majors and major indies, you know, that own the rights to all the music that they're licensing, what happens when they say, look, we don't want you to be able to skip songs anymore, or we want more ads, or we want more revenue, or, you know, they're trying to tighten that down a little bit to make it less sexy. So maybe that's the entry drug and you decide that you really do like streaming music, but let's get you over to the paid service as soon as possible, because that's their only way, their only path to long-term health. So, yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah, and on that note, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Pop Tech Radio. I'm Mike Etchard. I've got Jay Gilbert with me. We're talking digital music, and we're coming up.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, If we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hey, and we are back. It's Pop Tech Radio. Mike Etchart with Jay Gilbert. He, of course, is an expert in the field of digital music, which is why he is here. He's the co-founder of Label Logic, and which is a label and artist services. And you got to read his newsletter, Your Morning Coffee, which you can find on labellogic.net. Is where he talks about trends in digital music, which is why he is here. Jay, let's talk about the asterisks that we were talking about earlier. Pandora and YouTube. How is Pandora doing? I like Pandora.
Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you, man, I work so closely with Pandora. They are the quiet storm. It's not sexy because it's kind of lean back. You know, it's more a lot of their listeners, at least the perception, is that they sit and listen to it at work and they're not super involved. It couldn't be anywhere further from the truth. They have millions and millions of listeners in all sorts of genres, but they're also doing some really innovative things. Like, I'm a big fan of the track by track, you know, where somebody comes on and they say, okay, my name is Post Malone and here's my new album. This is the narrative. This is what it's about. Here's track one. I wrote this about this. I've always loved those, and I've seen some limited testing on Spotify, and that's about it. Well, they have this thing on Pandora called Pandora Stories, and now they've opened it up to you and me. So, like, we could put together our favorite grunge rock tunes and make our own kind of narrative, or we can have artists that we work with go track by track through their artists. So they're growing. Again, they're doing some innovative things. And then when you talk about Google Play, and there's so much confusion there, and that's always been a challenge for me, because YouTube Music is a DSP. It's a thing, and you can subscribe to it, and it's amazing, and it's
a digital service provider, by the way.
Yeah, they really curate music well, and it's pretty cool. And Google Play kind of tried to do that, but it's still live, and I don't know. There's a lot of confusion around what Google's message is and what their products are, but I'm telling you, they're doing some cool things, and they do have an audience.
Back to Pandora, though. What I like about Pandora just is that if you're a musician, there's a lot of services for musicians that self-release their albums and their music, and you can go with a company like, let's say, CD Baby, and they will upload you to all of the digital services except Pandora. You have to do Pandora, if I'm not mistaken, individually. So information has to be submitted to Pandora directly, and they decide if they want to put you up. But they also listen to everything that comes in, and then they kind of rank it and put it in kind of boxes. So when you're listening to a Norah Jones song, somebody has listened to this song they're about to serve up to you ahead of time and determine, as opposed to an algorithm determining that, they've determined if that's going to be a good song to serve next to that, right? But don't they have kind of a similar problem, which is they also do not own any of this music.
That's right.
And so they are continually struggling with licensing issues. What is their long-term health?
Well, they went through a thing in the last 18 months where they wanted to kind of restructure, and they've done that. And I feel like they're heading in the right direction. They've got a substantial base. I feel pretty good about their health. They've been around a while. And some of the people that I work with there have been with the company 13, 14 years, and they know music, you know, to your point. They know curation. So for right now, I think they're fine. Long term, could they be acquired at some point? Yeah, maybe. Could they survive on their own? Well, they've outlasted their critics. You know, they're still doing pretty well. I think the key for them is being innovative, which they certainly are doing, and being a good curator. And what I mean by that is, if you like a certain type of music, they can, or you can do it yourself, quickly build a station that plays music that you will like. And I think that's the part of the industry right now that I'm most excited about, is how good these folks are getting, whether it's an algorithm, which I like just call personalization, or, you know, if it's an actual curator putting things together, you know, whether it's Spotify's Release Radar, Discover Weekly, Apple Music is doing some really great curating. So when you know, it's called For You. When you go in there each week, they suggest songs based on your listening habits, and it's ridiculously good. And this is happening not just at Apple Music and Spotify. It's happening at Pandora to a large degree. And I think they were probably the first in the space to do it.
Wow. Well, and you know, back when dinosaurs walked the earth in the music industry, you know, when you were marketing music, you always were searching for, you wanted to reach those, and you know, if you remember back in high school, there was always a kid, maybe it was you, maybe it was a friend of yours, that was always at the front of the trends. And we're talking music, so, you know, that they always knew about the newest stuff.
Right.
And you're always trying to reach that person when we were marketing music back in the pre-digital
right.
era.
Yep.
And I mean, I think that curation, just like a trusted resource, kind of a trendsetter, is still super important, is it? Because there's just so much music.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like that early adopter that you're talking about, right? Then, you know, we worked in record stores, and we were kind of that person. But here's the thing. Today, what's really exciting about this is these digital service providers, you know, like Spotify and Apple Music, et cetera, they know who the first person to get into Drake or the Chainsmokers or whoever. They know who those tastemakers are. And so they use that data, and now they're watching these folks, knowing that these are the guys that are hip to the early country stuff and EDM and pop and metal. So now they know just with the data who those early adopters are. When they jump on something early, then they put it into those playlists for you and me that follow those genres. And you wonder, like, how are these guys so far ahead of the curve on this stuff? It's because their audience is.
Exactly. On that note, we've got to take a break. We're talking to Jay Gilbert. We're talking about digital music, and we are coming right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Carl's Jr. presents The Breakfast That Got Away.
It's been 5 years since our last morning together. I still remember your smell, your taste. I can't move on. My heart will wait as long as...
The wait is over! Carl's Jr.'s chorizo biscuit and burrito are back on the breakfast menu. Get spicy chorizo, egg, and pepper jack cheese on a made-from-scratch biscuit. Or all of that wrapped in a warm tortilla with crispy hash browns and fresh-made salsa. Get the chorizo biscuit and burrito today at Carl's Jr. Available for a limited time at participating locations.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's a place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin.
Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Expert in digital music, we are talking about all the different ways that we are spoiled, how you can get music at any time, almost anything you want to listen to. Let's talk about the big dog, so to speak, the biggest dog, which is YouTube.
Yeah.
Now, so Google has YouTube. They also have music.
Google Play.
It's a bit confusing, but YouTube is, it's the big kahuna for in a variety of categories. But
yeah.
So for music, why?
It's the number one place for music consumption, and I think the basic reason is they have everything. They have things that nobody else will have because, you know, they may have a performance of your favorite band on a late night TV show, or they may have some anime music, you know, from Japan. I mean, they have things that maybe aren't packaged and put together for the other digital service providers, and certainly not for physical consumption. So there's that, but there's also the fact that, you know, I have two college age girls, and their number one place to listen to music, that's my focus group, is YouTube. And it's because they build these playlists in YouTube because they can find anything, and then they just let it play while they study. The other part of that is you've seen these things called pseudo videos, and most people may not know that term, but you've seen these online where it's just the album art and an audio bed. That's mm-hmm. all it is. And sometimes you might look at that and go, well, this isn't a video. What is this? But that's why they call it a pseudo video, because it's the whole song, and you can put that into a playlist along with any other songs that you have and listen to it. And for most people, it's free of charge. Yes, YouTube has a paid tier, and, you know, they have their music, and, you know, they have Google Play and things that you can pay for. But for a lot of kids and adults, it's a free service that has everything on the planet that you can possibly find.
And I'm smiling because I have a favorites list, and it's mostly obscure people doing interesting covers of songs,
exactly.
Or it's watching a live Butch Walker concert.
Oh, and where else could you find that?
You know, again, back in the music days, we were fans of paralegal or semi-legal things, like they were referred to as bootlegs in those days. But basically, right. You know, live recordings of artists that weren't officially released, that were traded around. And those things now are everywhere on YouTube, just alternate versions or studio chatter. And it does sometimes get taken down, but by and large, you can find so much stuff. But now, how does the artist get paid for that? And for years, YouTube was a money loser for Google. Is it a money maker now?
I think with YouTube, the way that it's monetized, of course, is advertising. And there are people who are making a good living monetizing video content on YouTube. There are YouTube stars that make vast amounts of money. But there is a problem right now between the music industry and Google with the rates that they pay rights holders, and that's been a thorn in their side for a while. Lior Cohen went over there, and he's kind of the new point person for Google and Google's music initiatives.
Music industry executive, so he's been around.
That's
for
right.
Yep. So he now is kind of on the dark side, so to speak.
I'm not anti-YouTube, but I do think that in order for rights holders to stay in business, and especially for songwriters and for artists, there needs to be kind of a reboot on the financials of not just YouTube, but the industry as a whole. But YouTube, it has been criticized for their low payouts.
Right. Well, and you and I were working in the music industry at the same time in the early days of the internet and digital music, I suppose. And we saw a parade of people coming in the door with new ideas, typically websites in those days,
yeah,
that wanted to build businesses on the back of the major music company's content.
That's right.
And that's still kind of the case, isn't it? You know, they at the end of the day, the artists, the creators of this music have to be paid. And that has sometimes been a difficult concept or important to explain to a lot of these companies that are the new economy, so to speak.
Right. And I think the majors are very careful about licensing their content, their music. And when they do, they've learned from not making money on the iPod. That really kicked it off. And so now they all own a piece of, Spotify, for example. So they're invested in the business and they reap the benefits of its financial success. That's something you'll remember back when, you know, the iPad launched. The iPod, there was a lot of complaint in the industry that they were selling a lot of these iPods and the music industry wasn't making any money from it. So that's what they learned from it.
Right. And in those days, for a lot of people, they've forgotten about the iPod, but the iPod came with iTunes software, which was great. But the wonderful thing about iTunes software is you inserted a compact disc in
it. But you'll remember that the iPod actually came out in 2001. Right. iTunes didn't launch until 2003, so we were using all this other software to rip this stuff, and there wasn't really a store, and there wasn't really a legal place for us to go buy music. And I think that's how Steve Jobs really sold this to the majors, is like, look, people are stealing your music right now.
Yes.
You need to monetize it, and I can help you do that.
Well, and that's really a testament to his vision, but also his unique position at that point in time.
Yeah.
To be the person on the outside that truly, I mean, the guy loved music. He was an absolute fan of music.
Unquestionable.
But because of his unique stature in the consumer electronics industry, and he was able to kind of corral all those people and speak to them in a language they understood, and make that first iTunes store happen, which was Mac only at the beginning.
That's right. Yeah, I credit him, and I also credit Jimmy Iovine as being one of the first to actually get it and sit down and strike a deal. Like, initially, everybody kicked Apple out of the office and said, no, we're not going to do this. And Jimmy Iovine was one of those people who initially did not want to do it. But then he kind of saw the light and teamed up with him, and you'll remember that they even had a U2 iPod at one point. You know, they became fast friends, partners, yeah.
All right, on that note, we got to take a quick break. You're listening to Pop Tech Radio. We are talking digital music with Jake Gilbert, and we will be right back after these words.
This report is brought to you by the Satellite Broadcasting and Communications Association. This year, Congress has the opportunity to put an end to blackouts and rising TV costs, but we need your help. The Satellite Act, also known as Stellar, is a vital piece of legislation, ensuring that rural Americans, RV and camping enthusiasts, tailgaters, and long-haul truckers can watch broadcast network programming even in a remote location. Stellar also keeps pay TV bills in check for all Americans by requiring that TV broadcasters, satellite carriers, and cable companies all negotiate in good faith. However, if Congress fails to act before the end of the year, rural Americans, RVers, truckers, and campers will lose access to network programming. And there will be no mechanism in place to stop broadcasters from raising fees even higher, meaning everyday Americans will pay even more for the TV shows they already enjoy. Congress can act now, but we need your help. Call Senator Dianne Feinstein and tell her to reauthorize Stellar and modernize our TV rules. For more, visit StrongerWithSatellite.com/Stellar. That's S-T-E-L-A-R.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years. Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel costs, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
This report is brought to you by the Satellite Broadcasting and Communications Association. This year, Congress has the opportunity to put an end to blackouts and rising TV costs, but we need your help.
The Satellite Act, also known as Stellar, is a vital piece of legislation, ensuring that rural Americans, RV and camping enthusiasts, tailgaters, and long-haul truckers can watch broadcast network programming even in a remote location. Stellar also keeps pay TV bills in check for all Americans by requiring that TV broadcasters, satellite carriers, and cable companies all negotiate in good faith. However, if Congress fails to act before the end of the year, rural Americans, RVers, truckers, and campers will lose access to network programming, and there will be no mechanism in place to stop broadcasters from raising fees even higher, meaning everyday Americans will pay even more for the TV shows they already enjoy. Congress can act now, but we need your help. Call Senator Dianne Feinstein and tell her to reauthorize Stellar and modernize our TV rules. For more, visit StrongerWithSatellite.com/Stellar. That's S-T-E-L-A-R.
Tech Radio. Welcome back. Mike Edshar, my good friend Jay Gilbert. He, of course, is the co-founder of Label Logic, which is a label and artist services organization. He is also the curator of the weekly newsletter, Your Morning Coffee, which you can go to labellogic.net and subscribe to Your Morning Coffee. If you are a fan of digital music, it is a fascinating read and highly, highly, highly recommended. Let's swing. There was actually an article in Gizmodo about kind of the new now prior up until right now, all of Apple's stuff has been app based and you know,
right.
In fact you were the first person I remember that got an iPhone. You got an iPhone the day it came out, right?
I did. Yeah.
And that, you know, the smartphones, but certainly the iPhone introduced us to the world of apps.
Yeah.
And up until now, apps have ruled the universe. Are we now seeing a move away from apps?
Well, I think when you're talking about Apple, they've been kind of sunsetting or evolving certain services. You know, news, you know, has become News Plus. They kind of sunsetted Final Cut. You know, Apple TV is becoming TV Plus. And this is a natural progression. You know, they started off, everything was proprietary. That's how Apple worked, right? And now the direction they're going is to make things more ubiquitous, so you can watch Apple TV on any of your smart TVs. And when it comes to Apple Music, yeah, initially, you know, iTunes was only for the Mac, and, you know, I believe Apple Music started off iOS only first too. Don't quote me on that. But now with Apple Music, it's at least, as you see in the Gizmodo article, and there's the few others, It's available on the web now in beta, and it looks identical to Apple Music that you would find, you know, via the app, with one huge difference, and that is that it doesn't have the iTunes Music Store.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. May it rest in peace.
Well, you know, you still get your music, like you still have, you know, My Music.
Mm-hmm.
So, if it, you know, and I double check that because I have a lot of demos and unmastered things from clients, and, you know, I need to have that, and it's not ever going to be up on Apple Music, at least not in that form. And that is all there in my library, in my recently added. So it's basically identical. It must be pulling from the same database. It'd have to be.
Right.
So that works really well. But it makes sense because now it'll work on all browsers and all platforms. So, you know, not only just the different browsers, but on, you know, Windows and Android. And I think that's where they become bigger, is to be, you got to make it as easy as possible for people to access your service. And they're making a giant step with making this on the web.
So currently Apple is the largest of the of the paid subscription services. And then, again, there's kind of an asterisk by that statement because while Spotify might be more popular, many of its users use the free service. But Amazon is catching up. So it sounds like Google is kind of unclear what their direction is. Is that a fair way to characterize?
I think they're in the middle of focusing their efforts right now, and they're making changes and consolidating services, and I feel like they're on the right path. I think with Amazon is not, you know, as big as Apple Music or Spotify or even YouTube, of course, but
I think they're the fastest growing at this point, as far as the just as a percentage of new paying people taking the service. Now, keep in mind that, you know, if you get, you know, Amazon Prime, you know, you get the service. And, you know, when you get one of these, you know, Echo devices, you can get the paid subscription for, you know, I think it's $3.95. So there are some reasons why that's happening, but also just the fact that voice is not just for geeks anymore. Now, you know, like my parents have a smart speaker in their house and, you know, they use it to listen to music. So it's crossing over mainstream.
Well, and I don't know your parents. I mean, I've never met your parents. I know of your parents, but were they music listeners before?
They were, but it was physical. You know, they would get a CD and listen to it, you know, in their house or their car, and they really didn't get into the download era. They liked, you know, they're 80 years old. They liked having the physical, tactile thing in their hands. But streaming, especially if you can just say it, you know,
yes,
play this type of thing, that is huge to them. And you know, once they got that, I don't think they'll ever go back to anything else.
Let's talk about kind of the other, you know, we've really talked about the big guys. You know, there's also, as you mentioned, there's Deezer, there's Tidal.
Yeah, Qobuz. There's a bunch of these guys. Deezer is a quiet storm. They're mostly ex-U.S., and they were primarily outside of the U.S. until the last year or so. And you can get them, you know, on certain plans here in the United States. But they're moving up quickly. They're very big in other territories. You'll remember that Spotify, you know, kind of started in the Nordics, you know, and I think that's where you can grow an audience and just, you know, it just grows across other territories like that. So, and then, you know, on Qobuz, they're really more for those who care about a higher bit rate, you know, higher quality sound, and not everybody wants that, but some people do.
Yeah.
You know, Apple has, you know, mastered for iTunes. So Qobuz is unique in the fact that that's really, they're more of an audiophile kind of place to go. But there's also this new digital service provider, Music Aficionado, and they don't have large numbers right now, but they're probably my favorite digital service provider of the moment, only because it's like a magazine. When you go on to this service, you see articles like, here are the 12 blues songs that shaped modern rock and roll, and here are, and then they tell you the story behind it as you're listening. So it's kind of like a magazine. And I think the people who do the best job at curating and expressing that narrative, that's where you're going to win.
Absolutely. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Popular Technology Radio. Mike Etchart and Jay Gilbert. We are coming right back.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
If you're gonna tell them everything, tell them I'm a good kisser. Tell them all the things you told me in your desk.
Welcome back to Pop Tech Radio. Mike Etchart with my good friend Jay Gilbert. He, of course, of Label Logic, labellogic.net. They are a label and artist services organization. And if you go to labellogic.net, you can subscribe to Jay's fantastic weekly newsletter called Your Morning Coffee, which is... It is the must-read publication in the music industry for sure. And if you're a fan of digital music and kind of interested in that business, that is where you find some fantastic information. You know, Jay, we were kind of talking about, you know, all the different services. In business, you kind of mentioned that there's kind of room for three, let's say, or four. Mm-hmm. Currently, there's like seven or eight.
There's a lot.
There's a lot. You know, if you're looking down the road in the next, let's say, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, do they all survive? It doesn't seem like...
No, I don't think they do. And I think you've seen some of them kind of fall to the wayside already. I was a big fan of Slacker Radio.
Yeah.
They were really great at curating. And, you know, you and I have touched on, you know, like Amazon Music Unlimited and Apple and Deezer and Google Play and all, you know, Spotify, all of those. And maybe that is only a dozen or so. But if you put your music up, any way you want to put your music up, let's say it's TuneCore, CD Baby, DistroKid, or whatever.
An artist. If you're an artist, you want
to put music. If you're an artist and you want to put music up on these services, when you look at the services that they go to globally, there are dozens and dozens of them. So there's so many of these, and some of them are territorial. Like, as you probably know, the Japanese market is very insular, and they have streaming services that are only in Japan. So keeping that in mind, I think that of the streaming services that we're talking about, I believe that the ones where music is not their primary business are the ones that will probably be around the longest and grow the largest number of subscribers. Now, you know, as Dennis Miller says, you know, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong, right?
Right.
So I really do hope that some of these places, like I told you, you know, the Music Aficionado, I just love that service so much. CoBuzz is doing some really cool things. I think you kind of almost have to differentiate yourself. And I don't mean that you just have to do jazz or you have to do EDM. You know, that certainly is one way of going about it. But just be better. You know, that's how retailers did it. They were good curators. They had the aesthetic, the user interface, as it were. I think that's how you make yourself relevant and last the longest. But if I was a betting man, I just think that the Apple, you know, the Amazon, the Google, it's hard to bet against those folks because music is a rounding error for their overall business.
Right. But I also kind of like the CoBuzz model or the Music Aficionado where they're focusing on a niche market that maybe isn't so cost sensitive, right? So, you know, it's not going to be for my college age kids, but it's going to be for, maybe it will be for them when they are established in careers and have a lot more disposable income and their tastes are refined over the years. And I don't know, you often see, you know, premium products and kind of luxury goods oftentimes survive and do well. I don't know if that directly translates to music or to digital music, but, you know, it's going to be, well, and then, of course, you know, who's to say that Pandora or Spotify doesn't get absorbed by a much larger company? That's always possible.
Yeah. Well, it's always, you know, they could merge together, you know, they could diversify and become something, you know, remember when MTV was all about music videos and then mm-hmm. it became something totally different but still survived. I think some of these, there's a lot of podcasts right now that are, the audiences are growing. People are understanding what podcasts are and how much great material is out. I think a lot of these digital service providers are struggling right now to either buy companies or to expand their services.
so they have an offering of these great podcasts. Well, maybe some of these services could be like an Audible, you know, for books, mm-hmm. and they're more for, you know, they focus more on podcasts or whatever's next. There's always something that we're not talking about or we're not thinking about right now that's going to be coming along the pipe. I mean, if history has shown us anything, you know, it's that.
That's right. Exactly right. But suffice to say, the days of carrying a carton or a crate of albums is in the past. And on that note, we do need to wrap it up. I want to thank everyone for listening today and wanted to remind you that if you want to go back and revisit any of our old episodes, we are podcast at all of the places where you can get podcasts, which for me is Apple. I almost said Apple iTunes, but I guess it's actually Apple Podcasts now. So I want to thank our terrestrial radio carrier, Radio America, for bringing us out to all the great stations across the country that carry this show. Big thanks to Mike Paradiso and Jenny Dietis and all those other kids. And big thanks to Cody Castleberry for being my producer and engineer and making it happen every week. And Jay Gilbert, 1,000 thank yous. Always fun to have you on the show, brother.
Thank you.
All right, folks, thanks for listening in for this edition of Pop Tech Radio. We will see you this time next week.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dickus.
After criticism from an LGBT activist, Amazon.com has removed books containing personal testimonies of formerly gay individuals. No longer sold on their site are writings that help people who struggle with transgenderism or same-sex attraction.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
On Facebook.